good morning, good day, or good evening, my dear friends. This is Victoria Butenko talking to you live from Southern Oregon. Welcome to our teleconference. It is my great privilege to answer your questions. I am thrilled that this new computer technology allows us to talk from all over the globe. Here in my office, I have with me my dear friends, Emily. Say hi.
Hello.
Who will read your questions to me, and Robert.
Say hello.
Hello.
Can't hear him.
Who is maintaining my website and is helping me with this conference today. Let me unmute you for a few moments now so that we can hear actual voices of each other. I'm aware that most of you are listening to us via internet, but if there are any listeners on the phone, this is your time to speak up. Otherwise, I might feel as if I'm talking to myself. So please tell us, located, which country are you in?
Hi, Victoria, Maryland in Washington State.
Hello.
Naomi in San Diego.
Hello.
Sheila in Georgia.
Somebody is in India there. Hello.
Illinois.
Hello.
Marsha Walden in Maine.
This is Erica. Erica in California.
Hi,
Victoria. Kimberly in Florida.
Hello.
Hi, Victoria. This is Joyce Apollo and Celestial Joy in Medford, Oregon.
Fantastic. Hello.
I'm Gladys Kammeyer from Florida.
South Carolina.
Okay. Leslie in Georgia.
South Carolina.
Thank you.
I'm Joyce in Michigan.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you. We have a lot of questions. We have over 2,000 people in this audience. Now, Emily is going to read the questions to me one at a time, and I will answer. In the very end of this teleconference, I will unmute you again and let you share any feedback. Let us begin.
Are you ready? Okay, the first question. Why are greens so important?
Every time I think about greens, I have butterflies in my mouth. I have shivering because greens are the only living thing in the world that can transform sunshine into food, into energy. There is nothing, no sugar on this planet that did not originate from sunshine through greens. You and I cannot transform sunshine into energy, but greens can. Then greens transform sunshine into chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is the basis for molecule of sugar, for any sugar. And then some of the sugar goes towards fruit to make the fruit sweet and attractive to us so we can eat that and help plants to propagate. And then the second part of it goes into the roots of the plants. You know, all plant roots are sweet in the world. This is to attract microorganisms in the soil, because microorganisms in the soil, they do composting. They take dead animals and dead plants and break them down into simple nutrients such as calcium, iron, copper, sodium, potassium, and so on, 122 altogether. So the microorganisms break dead matter, dead organic matter, into inorganic nutrients. And then the plant sucks these nutrients through the roots from the soil. And as the nutrients pass through the trunk of the plant, as through the stem, and as they reach the surface of the planet and the sunshine touches them, they become organic. The sunshine breathes its energy, its life, inorganic nutrients, elements, and they become organic life. They now have vibration that makes them live nutrients. So green leaves are very important. And then there is a second to the greens. The second big favor the greens make for us is the plant wants to accumulate as many nutrients as possible so that the plants could feed their babies, their future seeds. The seeds have to have plenty of concentrated nutrients in them so that the seeds could stay for years, for decades, for hundreds of years, and they still have enough nutrients so when the time will be right, then they could germinate and give birth to a big plant. I became familiar with one company in Norway that I call, for myself, I call it the Noah's Ark for seeds. This company is collecting the seeds of the world, the heirloom seeds of the world. They say that when the whole planet will be infected with GMOs, then there'll be time for them to replant. So far, they have more than 1.5 million of different varieties of heirloom seed. So this company has a magazine, and in this magazine I read that some seeds could stay in germinated, some seeds could stay in dormant state up to 10,000 years. So that tells us that the seeds have to have so much nutrients in them that they could survive in dormant stage for so many years. So back to the plant. The plant is trying to put all these nutrients in the seed. Where does the plant get those nutrients? The plant gets it from the soil through the roots. And look at the romaine lettuce or look at the spinach. Before it has flowers, what would be the only place where the plant could store their nutrients? There are no seeds yet. There are not even blooms. Where can the plants store their nutrients? The only place would be green leaves. And that is how the green leaves are the richest source of nutrients in the world, on this planet. And that is why there is not even a single creature who does not rely in their livelihood on green plants. Even polar bears consume plenty of kale. Kelp. The kelp is the sea vegetable, seaweed. And even your cat and dog consumes grass. And humans also are supposed to eat lots of greens. And we'll talk about this later. And that's why greens are the richest, the most nutritious food on planet Earth. And humans cannot be healthy without eating enough greens. And that's why greens are so important.
Do you know if the diets of ancient cultures included greens?
That's a very good question. Thank you for it. I have studied a lot anthropological researches, and I read lots of historical researches and paleontological, and I found out that humans, since the beginning of time, consumed plenty of greens. Humans originated from tropical rainforest, where there is plenty of greens and fruits around the year. And that was two main staples of humans for thousands of years, fruits and greens. And humans have been eating greens all the way until, on a regular basis, until 180 years ago. Even when humans started to overpopulate the earth and started to migrate from tropical rainforests to colder climates, to different parts of the world where there is cold winter, they would still consume greens whenever they were available. People who lived in colder climates were always looking forward for the springtime when they could harvest some greens from under the snow. I was able to find lots of proof that humans, even in medieval times, and all the way to 180 years ago, were consuming greens on a regular basis. There was even a profession that was called the name, special name for person who would sell only greens. No fruits, no vegetables, just greens. So what happened 180 years ago? The Industrial Revolution. The Industrial Revolution was a turning point for many things in our life. People invented lots of things. And together with the steam engine and bicycles and telegraph, telephone, with automobiles, with chemicals, chemical fertilizers, spring mattresses, and showers, and so many things, matches were invented. people invented three major things that changed human diet drastically, the most drastically than ever before in human history. Humans invented the process of refining sugar. They invited metal grinders for the mill that allowed them to make lots of white flour. And the most importantly, they created the canning process. There was no canning process 180 years prior. When that was happening, please understand that it was also a symbol of progress for people to adopt all these changes. For example, today, when you don't have access to internet, when you look at person and somebody says, I don't have access to internet, sometimes these people receive looks. Like people shrug their shoulders saying, you don't have internet. What kind of a cave you live in? Or if somebody says, I don't have GPS on my car, you feel like you're not really progressive. So you can imagine now how ancient people felt. I mean, what I'm saying, how people felt 108 years ago if they were not eating preserves, if they were not eating confection and white bread and pasta, and they were not using can opener. I can almost see a child telling to his grandfather, oh, grandfather, you're so old-fashioned. You smell like garlic. Go to the barn. I'm going to meet here my friends. So 108 years ago, people started to consume a lot more highly processed, refined food because of these inventions. And not only this, it was also lots of convenience. By the time the Industrial Revolution happened, there were lots of hungry people in the world. A starvation rate was very high. People were dying every winter. Lots of people were dying from being starved to death, including children. So they were happy that there was something that they called survival food. For in the beginning, all those foods were survival foods. Imagine the time when even matches were not invented. And then in the wintertime, usually there will be really not much variety of food at all. And then you could open with a can opener something that has smell, that has aroma, that goes in every room. And you can just eat it without even cooking. And what's more important, people were told by their doctors that it was good for them. So what people did, they were feeding that so-called predigested food to the most precious loved ones, to pregnant women and their babies. And so 108 years ago, humans started to consume highly refined food in large quantities. And so what happened? Immediately, the health of people started to suffer. 108 years ago, the cancer rate started to grow. Dr. Max Gerson, in his book, Gerson Therapy, explains that prior to 108 years ago, cancer was so scarce that people had to travel, students of medical colleges had to travel for weeks to find one person to look at a patient who had cancer. And then 108 years ago, cancer started to grow. By the 1900, the rate of cancer death was 65 deaths per 100,000 people, which was pretty high. And today, you know, we're told that every second person living today will die from cancer. So it's definitely rising, despite all the money we spent on research, cancer research. And other illnesses also. Four illnesses were formed right away. Scurvy, pellagra, beriberi, and rickets. Those illnesses were the result of lack of fresh foods. These diseases were so big, epidemic. The governments proclaimed epidemics of these diseases, while they were just the result of not eating enough fruits and vegetables, fresh fruits and vegetables. People died by the thousand from pellagra alone. In 1915, more than 10,000 Americans died. So, humans have been eating greens, and now, as you know, we don't eat a lot of greens. Today, many people, all greens they eat is a wilted iceberg lettuce in their Subway sandwich. That's all. And that's why I was looking for a solution for that, because I also didn't like greens. And I came up with the green smoothie, which is palatable, It's really practical, easy to make, and it does allow people to eat lots of greens. So let's go to the next question.
Mm-hmm. You have said we should eat greens before they go to seed because that's when they are the most nutritious. That makes sense to me. But does that mean I should not eat my buckwheat and lamb's quarter now that they have gone to seed?
You're right. You shouldn't eat greens. You should, or at least you should eat less of them, because as I explained, that greens only the plants only save nutrients in the green leaves, as in a storage, waiting when the seeds will be forming. And when the seeds are formed and ready to leave their parent plant, then there is almost nothing left in the leaves, and they become bitter, hardier. And yes, they're not as nutritious. Exception are those plants that have ongoing process of seed forming, such as dandelions. Dandelions, they produce flowers and seeds all through the summer. So dandelions, you can pick up the light green leaves and eat all the time.
I was trying to determine how many grams of fiber in 32 ounces of greens.
That's very easy. You can go to nutritiondata.com. It's nutritiondata.com. That is the official site of USDA. And you can put any food in there, any green, and it will give you a complete nutritional description. You can see how many grams of fiber, what an abundance of proteins greens have, and everything, all the details.
I struggle with adrenal fatigue. Is there any suggestions, specific greens or herb recipes, or insights you have on this one last health issue I can't seem to get right?
That's an interesting question. The answer is no. There is no specific green for that. The only vitamin for that is sleep. Adrenal fatigue is much more common than people could, many people could suspect. For example, most of today's women in so-called civilized countries do have adrenal fatigue. One of the symptoms of adrenal fatigue is that women don't have regular periods. The period will start for one day, then it will stop, and it will disappear for a few days, and then it will come back, and then it will continue. That's a symptom of adrenal fatigue. Adrenal fatigue happens because of lack of rest, too much stress, and also nutritional deficiency. Specifically for adrenal fatigue, people need to go to bed not later than 10 p.m. because adrenals, according to the universal biological clock, adrenals recover and heal between 10 p.m. and midnight.
Do you drink 8 glasses of water on top of drinking the smoothies?
I do not drink 8 glasses of water. I drink water sometimes, but I drink 2 quarts of green smoothie every day, and I eat lots of fruits, and every piece of fruit I eat is approximately 95% water. So I don't feel like I need to drink that much water. I drink maybe 1 or 2 cups, that's all.
Mm-hmm. I've been drinking green smoothies for over a year. Lately, I've been wanting them with more greens and less fruit. But often when I drink these somewhat bitter smoothies, my body aches afterwards, my head, feet, hands, etc. Is this simply more detoxing? Since it's quite uncomfortable at times, I find myself not wanting to drink the smoothies, but I don't desire to make them with more fruit again either. Is this common?
This is not common. I would say that you maybe need to rotate more. And also, there is nothing bad with fruit. I totally disagree that fruit is bad for us. Candies are bad for us. Any white sugar is bad for us. Any complex carbohydrates such as pasta, macaroni, and potato are bad for us. But fruits are good for us. Humans cannot be healthy without fruit. How can you decide whether it's true or not? You just try for yourself. I have never seen anybody who's been able to sustain on a diet without fruit for a long enough time. You can just try both ways and see. And also, I observe that people feel good and feel healthy on a diet when they consume fruit. However, the fruit has to be organic and it has to be ripe. Non-organic fruit is not good for us, and not ripe fruit is not good for us. That could be an obstacle. But my job is to tell you what I know, and it's your job to find out how to work around it. But I know that ripe organic fruit is good for us. Maybe this is a time when in our hemisphere, it's a harvest season right now, and you could still load on your body on some really ripe organic fruit. I'm talking ripe, vine ripe, when it's cracking open. Today, before this conference, I went to the farmer's market, and I picked up tomatoes that are cracking and apples that are so ripe that you smell them, and they smell good. And the cantaloupes that are cracking because they're so ripe, that's the best. That's the good for us. But the one that if you buy it in the store that's been harvested 8 months prior to the harvest, are you surprised? The citruses very often are harvested 8 months prior to being harvested. Most of the citruses take 24 months to the time before they ripen, and they harvest it for sale 8 months prior. That's why they're so sour, and that's why our teeth become sore. So I don't see anything wrong with the fruit. However, if somebody will decide to go on an all-fruit diet, that is also not good. I've met people who've been living on a fruit diet, fruitarians, and they did not have good health. They had lots of problems, and their teeth were in bad shape. As I told you before, historically, humans have been eating fruits and greens. Greens, they neutralize extra sugar. Greens have plenty of fiber that slows down the absorption of the sugar. If you consume your fruits with greens, your blood sugar will not skyrocket high. And that is the best way. So have a habit. Yesterday, for dinner, I had 6 medjool dates, and I ate them with a whole bunch of romaine lettuce. And it was so delicious. Try it. It's a good combination. You just roll each date, take the seed out, roll each date in the romaine leaf, and just eat it. It's delicious.
I add about a tablespoon of fresh flaxseed to my smoothies. Is that okay?
It is interesting that we constantly know something new. When I was writing my book, Green for Life, I was reading research how important the fiber is and that we need to eat as much fiber as possible. And so in desperation to get more fiber, I started to add flaxseed to my green smoothies. And I wrote in my book, Green for Life, that we should eat more add flaxseed to our green smoothies. While it's not really something dangerous, now I changed my mind. I say that green smoothie is the most nutritious, the most valuable meal of the day. And in order to ensure that it's completely absorbed, I would not add anything to green smoothie but just 3 ingredients: fruit, greens, and water. In this way, you benefit from them the most. And then in the later meals, you can eat anything you want. You could sprinkle flax on your food or eat a flax cracker or eat anything else you want.
I have taken green smoothies to the point where it is my main meal of the day. My smoothies are densely green. They have about 1 pot of greens in them, and I have now reduced the banana part to only half or 1 banana. I used to add spirulina, and I sometimes add brown rice for and protein powder. I usually start with water, but often I add nut butter or almond milk to provide the liquid base. Recently, I discovered sea vegetables like Irish moss. And so I have been using that for a smooth texture and for the minerals. The specific question I have is, does this violate the green smoothie principle? Are there any downsides? Or if you wish to answer the question in more general terms, is there any danger of going overboard with the greens?
There is not really danger is in putting different things, in adding things to your green smoothie. In generally, whatever it takes for you to consume greens. However, for the best results, I recommend that you follow the guidelines for optimal green smoothie consumption that I published in my book, Green Smoothie Revolution. And I'm going to read you some of them. Prepare your green smoothies first thing in the morning in the amount that you usually consume in a day, 1 or 2 quarts. Pour enough smoothie into a glass for your morning enjoyment and keep the rest in the refrigerator or another cold place, but not the freezer. Sip your green smoothie slowly, mixing it with saliva for better absorption. Sometimes I put my smoothie in a coffee mug and carry it with me to the car or office. That way, I minimize the chance of spilling it, and others don't notice the green content of my cup. Don't add anything to your smoothie except greens, fruit, and water. Drink your smoothies by itself and not as a part of a meal. By the way, this is the point that many people don't follow, and then they have flatulence and bloating and gas. So to get the most nutritional benefits out of your green smoothie, don't consume anything, even as little as cracker with it. You can eat anything you want approximately 40 minutes before or 40 minutes after drinking smoothie. Do not add starchy vegetables such as carrots, beets, broccoli, stems, broccoli stems, zucchini, cauliflower, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, eggplant, pumpkin, squash, okra, peas, corn, and green beans to your green smoothie. Starchy vegetables combine poorly with fruit and may produce what my children call gas for less. Don't add too many ingredients to one smoothie, such as 4 different fruits and 6 different greens. To keep things easy on your digestive system, try to keep most of your recipes simple to maximize nutritional benefits. Learn to prepare a really delicious green smoothie so that you are always looking forward to the next one. If your drink is not too tasty, you will eventually give up on it. Keep your taste buds happy. Rotate your greens. We can talk about this later. Choose organic produce whenever possible. So those are the guidelines. And again, if in order to consume greens, you have to add whatever you add into that, that's fine with me. When I was in Russia in June, I was teaching some classes about green smoothies, and one woman told me that her husband will not drink green smoothie if she will not add sausage to it. While it was shocking to me to hear that, but I replied to her, whatever it takes for him to start greens in his diet. We sometimes have different obstacles in our life, and so whatever it takes to consume it.
Another question from the same person is related to storage. Usually as soon as I'm done with making the smoothies, I quickly freeze them. Depending on what else is happening. I have 3 of them in the freezer for up to 3 days. Are there any concerns there? Is there a loss of nutrition or oxidization?
I personally don't freeze my smoothies. I don't see why. They stay perfectly well for 3 days in the fridge. I do think that when we freeze them, we change the structure, but it's not completely gone, so to a certain degree, it's okay. I wouldn't unnecessarily freeze them. If you have to, then you can, but I wouldn't unnecessarily freeze them.
What is your perspective on the use of sweeteners like agave, raw honey, etc.?
Well, raw fooders have been looking for a variety of different sweeteners, especially those who like to make different gourmet dishes. And I tried a multitude of different sweeteners, and I came up to the conclusion that agave is not really raw, and I personally don't feel good when I take agave, raw agave, so-called. And so I ended up with just having 2 major sweeteners in my diet. It's mainly dates, all kinds of dates. And the second one, once in a while, I use a little bit of honey. And I just really consciously buy it from beekeepers that I know personally that handle bees in a very human way.
What about the use of blending versus juicing?
When I heard that some speakers criticized blending, they said that blending destroys what different, I heard different numbers, 80% of nutrients or 90% of nutrients. I took this criticism very seriously, and I have hired, I asked the professors from two universities, Southern Oregon University and Cornell University, to comment on that. And I have performed a pilot study, the research. I took two potatoes. I took potatoes because when I peeled them, they're white, and I could see the change of the color. And you know how you slice the potato and the color instantly becomes brown when it oxidizes. So one potato I juiced and one potato I blended. And then I looked what I had. The blended potato, blended with water in a Vitamix blender, stayed white for 3 days. And the one that I juiced came already brownish from the juicer. So the scientists commented that most of antioxidants are located in the fiber. And so when we keep the fiber in the drink, it prevents oxidation. It slows down oxidation. And when we remove the fiber, like in juice, then it oxidizes very fast, immediately. That is why juice is told to be consumed within minutes after being prepared. And that is why the smoothie could stay in a fridge for up to 3 days or even more. However, I don't want to say that I don't ever recommend to use juices. There are situations when juices are preferable than smoothie. That is for those people who have irritable bowel syndrome, for example. For those people who have so compromised digestive system, so nutritional deficiency, such nutritional deficiency that they cannot tolerate fiber without pain. They actually have painful reaction to any fiber. Those people simply cannot consume green smoothies until they will recover from their deficiencies. For these people, I recommend that they drink green juice, freshly made green juice for maybe several weeks until they will feel better and they then could switch to green smoothie, because green smoothie is much easier to prepare. Juicing takes half an hour to an hour, including cleaning, and blending takes under 3 minutes.
Do we need to do a parasite cleansing now and then since we are eating so many raw greens?
We somehow scared of parasites. And we're scared of parasites to such a degree that we're scared of parasites more than we're scared of chemicals. So we're chasing those innocent parasites and put more and more chemicals in our body. Several years ago, I was interested when I read the research that one of the professional illnesses of people of cleaning profession is that they have candida and they have sterile intestinal tract, and they have associated illnesses with parasites. They have more parasite attacks than those who don't deal with that many chemicals and cleaning supplies. I was very interested in that. I have a personal friend who used to be teaching. She's been teaching cleaning people in college for years. And so she developed this illness that she would get disease from every little microbe. Her body lost all the bacteria, good and bad. I strongly believe that there is only one power in the world that could fight parasites, and that's not chemicals. That is your own immune system. The parasites are helpless against the immune system. They can never build up any tolerance or mutate and create any resistance to it. They're totally powerless against our immune system. We're not going to die from bacteria. We're going to die from chemicals. We could die from chemicals. And we're supposed to have 85% in our body bacteria, supposed to be good bacteria. Unfortunately, as a result of what we've been doing with the bacteria and parasites. And we consume so many chemicals in our life that we have 95% or more in our body pathogenic bacteria and almost no good one. We cannot be healthy without good bacteria. We cannot have B vitamins without good bacteria. We cannot have good digestion and enzymes without good bacteria. We cannot protect ourselves. Good bacteria is part of our immunity. So I'm not afraid of parasites and bacteria because my immunity is strong.
Is there such a thing as overblending? How will I know when it is done and the cell walls are destroyed?
You don't need to overblend. You simply open the lid and taste it. You know, take a spoon in your mouth and see if it's blended enough and then drink it. I wouldn't blend it longer than it needs to be.
I know you look at amounts in terms of volume, but have you considered doing masses? That way I will know exactly how much of each ingredient to use.
I really don't want you to have exact amounts. This is such a wrong approach, I think. I would like you to trust your body. Our human body is so intelligent. Our body could even create humans. When now we give birth to humans, they come perfect without any of our guidance, without any of us providing any blueprints. All of our babies look so cute. How dare us to think, to have doubts that our body cannot manage things like flu or cancer or osteoporosis or anything else? And our body is intelligent, and it will tell us when to stop drinking smoothies or when to drink more, which smoothie is better, which is not as good. I don't want to provide any exact amounts. I want you to figure out for yourself. I do retreats. I do green smoothie retreats, and I see when 30 to 40 people come, and we provide to them abundance, buckets of freshly made green smoothie 4 times a day. I see that some people will drink 4 quarts a day, and some people will drink 1 quart a day, and both of them will be satisfied. How can I possibly give the exact amounts? I just give guidance, and you decide.
Is it okay to add supplements to these smoothies, for example, hemp protein or green powder?
I already said that I don't want to add anything to green smoothies. And what is supplement? Just apply your common sense and answer that question. What is supplement? It's some dehydrated greens and some dehydrated fruit and some dehydrated seeds. First of all, why use dehydrated when I prefer to use only fresh? I buy fresh hemp seeds and I buy fresh greens or I pick them up in my backyard. And so I personally don't take any supplements. And also I know how human body work with the different deficiencies and with different nutrients. So I understand that when we have too much of something, the body begins to limit the absorption of that particular nutrient. For example, if you take vitamin C from lemons or from greens, then the body takes what it needs and then the rest of it the body discards through the ways it knows. But if you begin to take vitamin C as a supplement, you go to your naturopathic doctor or to your doctor every time you go, they increase the dose. Why is that? Why they don't decrease it, saying, oh, you already had enough, now we can decrease it. They keep increasing it. While you're still eating your meals every day, they increase your vitamin C. Why is it happening? Because your body cannot tolerate that much vitamin C, plus it's just too concentrated. And the body reduces the absorption of vitamin C, the ability to absorb vitamin C in the body. And that's how you become deficient in vitamin C. By taking too much vitamin C, you become deficient in vitamin C. By taking too much vitamin A, you become deficient in vitamin A. And so by taking too many supplements, you could be more deficient. I personally don't understand why people take so many supplements. I don't believe that they help. Maybe psychologically they help. I don't really think that anything that is dehydrated could be better than fresh. And I don't believe that something that grows somewhere in a different country could be better, that something you can grow locally and eat fresh. I don't take no supplements. I don't believe in that. My children don't take supplements. And I just don't understand the concept of supplements. Supplements is supplement. It's not food. And I don't understand why you need supplements. I know people who had a hard time getting off supplement because their body became dependent on them. So I don't recommend personally adding any supplements, but it's up to you.
I have been drinking my green smoothies for about 2 months now. I usually just make about 16 ounces. The last couple of weeks, I feel so spacey when I drink them. I feel like my sugar is way out of whack. What is going on? I've been using chard or dandelion with banana, frozen mango or strawberries, a teaspoon of maca, 2 teaspoons of hemp seeds and water. Today I even added half an avocado.
The reason why you feel spacey, I connected to having low blood sugar. That may be because you have a history of consuming maybe white sugar or complex carbohydrates or maybe too many fats in your diet. I don't know exactly your situation, and I'm not a medical doctor. In this presentation today, I'm talking to you just as a woman, just as a friend. We're just chatting on the phone together. If I were you, I would go on a one-week no-fat diet. I mean zero fat, not even avocado, not even seeds or nuts or oils or anything, just fruits, vegetables, green smoothies, that's all for 1 week, and see if your feeling spacey will go away.
Why do I feel like I'm having low blood sugar after drinking a green smoothie? My smoothies typically consist of kale, spinach, one banana, and a Granny Smith apple. Sometimes I substitute the apple for papaya or melons. I've tried green smoothies twice now, but only for about 2 weeks at a time because I didn't like the change in my mood and ease. Will I eventually tolerate them, or can you give any advice on moving into green smoothies and keeping yourself level?
I have received so many questions like this, so I decided to explain it deeper. I have studied different human organs, and the very interesting facts attracted my attention about liver. Liver is the largest gland in human body. The purpose of the liver is to process fats and toxins. And those two, fats and toxins, we have been over-consuming for 180 years and more and more. For example, we consume so many refined and hydrogenated fats that not even natural, don't exist in nature. And our liver can only consume, it was built to consume only so much less than what we take. Consider that even the game that people were killing, like killing wild birds or wild deer, was very lean. And there is no refined oils in nature. There are no any processed fats that exist in nature. So what happens to all this fat that the liver cannot process? This fat ends up in our bloodstream. It circulates in our bloodstream. And it not only clogs our arteries, but it interferes, being in our blood, it interferes with every single chemical reaction that happens in our body, including insulin, between insulin and sugar. It interferes with our sugar processing. And that's how it causes low blood sugar. And also chemicals. We consume so many chemicals that I heard from my friend who is patologoanatom that today when people from civilized, so-called civilized countries, when they die, their bodies don't rot as they used to maybe 50, 60 years ago because we are so penetrated. Every single cell in our body is preserved with the amount of preservatives in our system. So we have so many chemicals. Our liver is so overworked and tired. So for anybody who has any kind of feeling spacey or feel low blood sugar, I would highly recommend that you help your liver to unload, help your liver to I don't recommend very violent liver flushes, but something like doing a colonic or enema, or just go on a diet without fat. That will unload the work that liver has to do, and liver is trying to help you, and within 1 week, you will feel so much better. You'll see that your liver actually begins to breathe, even though it doesn't really have lungs. It just really will be happy to clean your body. You will feel lightness and energy, and you will not feel the low blood sugar symptoms at all. So I highly recommend that you take care of your liver in a very gentle way, by enema or colonic, or by just taking fat and extra chemicals from your diet.
You talk about poisoning from not rotating your greens. What are some of the symptoms, and how do I know if I'm getting enough variety of greens in my diet?
I myself and my daughter, we learned about this in a hard way. We were drinking kale smoothie for 6 months, and we started to feel something similar to frostbite on our cheeks. And we were concerned, what's going on, especially in the evening? She and I would look, and we will have similar effect, and nobody else in my family would have it, simply because they did not drink smoothie every day. And then suddenly I didn't want to drink smoothies anymore, again, because our intelligent body were telling us, "You stop it, it's hurting you." And I was feeling, oh, no, not now. I don't really want to stop drinking green smoothies. I had no idea that I had to rotate greens. It was in 2004. And then it was the springtime, and Sergei was weeding the garden, and he brought lots of chickweed. Chickweed, in other places, it's called pigweed. It's a weed that farmers don't like to have in their garden. And he brought so much of it. It was so bright green color and so fresh. So I blended it in a smoothie, and I totally loved this smoothie. And while I was having this smoothie, I stopped having frostbites in my cheeks. And then I started to do my research, and then I found out that this is how the plants protect themselves from extinction. Imagine that the plants will not have alkaloids in the leaves. The deer or any kind of goat will come and eat your entire lilac in one day, and the next day they'll eat your entire another plant, another bush in your backyard. So it's not going to work. Then those plants will extinct. That's why the nature placed a little bit of alkaloids in every single green leaf on the planet, but different alkaloids. For example, parsley has a little bit of arsenic, and romaine lettuce has a little bit of opium in it, and spinach has a little bit of oxalic acid, but they're all different, and they are there in a very minute amount, so minute that it only strengthens your immune system. But then you're forced to rotate. As the deer and goat, they would eat a few leaves of lilac, and they'll go eat a few leaves of acacia, and then go eat a few leaves of something else, apple tree. And that's the plants stay alive because the new leaves grow very fast and the animals don't die. So why do you need to know what kind of poisoning you have? Don't allow any poisoning. Rotate your greens as much as you can. And we're having at least 7 greens available to anybody in the world. And the planet has a green prevailing color. We're a green planet. Greens are everywhere, and if you cannot buy them in the store, you can pick them up in the backyard. Just be careful and don't poison yourself with poisonous plants. Make sure that it's a dandelion, it's a clover, it's a chickweed, it's a plantain, or such and such. If you want to know which weeds are edible, check Sergei Hutenko's, my son's, website or free videos on YouTube where he is teaching how to identify the most popular wild greens and how to prepare different dishes from them. They're totally free and they're fun. His website is harmonyhikes.com. He's taking people to hikes, so Harmony Hikes.
I've been told that parsley can be poisonous in large quantities and would like to know what you think about this. How much is too much parsley, and why do some people say it's poisonous? Is it because of the alkaloids?
The parsley has a little bit of arsenic, and just rotate it, and you'll be fine.
How do you clean your greens?
I almost don't clean my greens. If I pick greens in my backyard, I don't clean them at all. But if I buy them in a store, I just wash them with clean water. I am not afraid of bacteria. I have a very strong immunity. Human immunity is resting on three main bases. That would be vitamin C, vitamin A, and vitamin D, sunshine. It is very, very important to take care of your immunity, especially now when we are hearing this scary stories about swine flu that I personally don't believe. So bathe yourself in sunshine as much as you can. Even we live here in rainy Oregon, where we have rained today. As soon as I will see the end to this rain, I will go to my house. I'll strip naked on my balcony and put myself one side 10 minutes, another side 10 minutes, and go back to work. And don't wash your skin after you sunbathe, because washing washes away off the D3, the vitamin that you get from sunshine. Sunshine is really, really important for your immunity, and it cannot be substituted with any fish oil, krill oil, or anything else, because fish oil is D2. It's different. We belong to tropics. We belong to sunshine. We need sunshine. Vitamin A and vitamin C are the other ones. You get plenty of them from your daily quart of green smoothies.
I drink several green smoothies per day using different greens in each one. Is this sufficient for the need to rotate our greens, or should I be using one type of greens per day or per week and then switching?
Well, I think 7 would be the minimum. For example, today, kale. Tomorrow, spinach. Then Wednesday, chard. Thursday, parsley. Friday, dandelions. Saturday, arugula. Sunday, romaine lettuce. That's 7, at least 7. But locally, you might have different ones. And then be creative. I try to be creative. I have, for example, on my windowsill, 7 plants of aloe vera. You know, aloe vera, this is the healthiest plant of the world. Most physicians in most countries, most herbalists consider that there is not even one single illness to which aloe vera doesn't help. And by the way, it even helps to cure, to reverse symptoms of diabetes. So every day, whatever smoothie I make, I put a small amount of aloe vera in my smoothie. I cut one finger of it with the gel and with the skin and with the, all the thorns. I just cut one finger, exactly the size of my one my finger, and add it to whatever smoothie I make. This way I help rotating my greens. This is not the green I use. And one time, maybe once a month, I buy wheatgrass in the store that they sell for the pets. It's organic. So I buy this wheatgrass, and I cut some, and I put it in my smoothie. That's another green for your smoothie. Of course, you only can use wheatgrass if you have a powerful blender. And then I let it grow, and then I cut it again. Meanwhile, while it is in my house, I place this wheatgrass in between me and my computer screen, and it absorbs the negative energy, that radiation that comes from the computer. It does help. I can tell and testify that when I use it, I could spend hours and hours in front of a computer doing my research and writing books, and I'm less affected, and my eyes are not getting tired. So here's that much on that.
Some people advise not to use the stem of greens like kale, but I always do. What are your thoughts?
You can use stems of plants. I personally take off, I remove stems of kale, collard, and chard, simply because I don't like the flavor that they add, like peppery flavor, cabbagey. I don't like it. So I remove them, and I chew them later or add them to my salad. because I like my smoothies to be really delicious. I'm spoiled. I make the best smoothies.
That's true. Do you use anything besides water to wash your greens and veggies?
I don't. I use just plain water. I don't use any peroxide, any I don't soak my greens in the chlorinated solution. I'm afraid of chemicals.
How do you feel about coconut oil in green smoothies and raw desserts for skin and other health benefits?
I don't add coconut oil to any of my food. I don't use it in my diet. I used to use them when I was going through the transitional period of gourmet, eating raw gourmet food, and now I barely consume any fats. Very rarely, maybe 2-3 times a year, I use a little bit of olive oil. That's all.
Can I ask how much of the greens we should take in how many pounds? Is it possible that we can take too much and it can become too alkalizing?
I don't believe that we could consume too much greens unless you don't consume any fruit at all. I don't think you can live only on greens without fruit. I don't believe that's possible. I think there should be greens and fruits. It's a good balance, very good balance. I don't think you could be too alkalized because there are so many things that could make you more acid. For example, just having too much red color around you could make you acid. When you walk into the room, into the store, which has lots of red, it excites your glands and adrenal gland, and you become acid. If you hear loud music, you become acid. If somebody tells you harsh word, you become acid. If you get upset, if you sign in mortgage or losing house, you get acid. So we need alkaline. All of us need. In our today's world, there couldn't be too much alkaline.
Please address food combining, food and vegetables, or vegetables with greens, etc.
There was so much misunderstanding and misinterpreting the food combining rules. Dr. Herbert Shelton, he explained that we cannot consume together fruit and starchy vegetables, because it is really a poor food combining. Because when starch is combined with fruit and sugar in the fruit, it causes gas, it causes fermentation. However, greens are not vegetable, and more so, they are not starchy vegetable. Greens do not have any starch. I call greens something you can fold around your finger. Cucumbers are not greens. Zucchini is not green, and also some people think that green bell pepper is green. Well, green pepper is nothing but unripe red bell pepper, and it's not considered a green. So greens is something you can fold around your finger. So you can combine well greens and fruit. Actually, it helps to digest fruit. It slows down the absorption of sugar. And Dr. Herbert Shelton, in his book, Food Combining Made Easy, he explains that green leaves is the only food that could be combined with any other food group.
A similar sort of question, what foods are considered greens?
Oh, I just answered that. What you can fold around the finger. The only exception from that rule is cactus. I wouldn't recommend trying to fold cactus around your finger, but it is a leaf. And I do use cactuses. Whenever I go to Arizona or California, I always see if there is any wild growing cactuses that are not prohibited to pick up. And I like to add them to my smoothies. Or I buy cactuses in the store. They now sell Nepali cactuses in the store, and I like to add them to smoothies as another combination.
Every day for breakfast, I drink a green smoothie, sometimes combining it with protein powder. I eat from 50 to 80% of my diet raw, using all organic foods. I read a lot about food combining, and many sources say to eat fruit away from other foods. Is it okay to combine fruit and vegetables, and why? Is it okay to add pure protein powder from an excellent source advised by my alternative healthcare doctor to help with my many health issues?
Well, I already addressed food combining, so I'll just talk about protein. This is the most popular question asked in my lectures. I believe that we inherited the fear of not having enough protein in our diet from the beginning of the last century. In his 520-page book on fundamental nutritional research, published in 1922, Dr. McCollum stated, I'm quoting from the book, through studies it became established that the body of an animal or the tissue of a plant consists essentially of protein, carbohydrates, fats, and a series of related substances. Several other prominent components are not essential. He was probably guessing about antioxidants and other things that we now discovered. Anyways, that's 1922, John Hopkins Institute, University. Later in the same book, he concluded, protein is the most prominent organic component of the body. I guess that this straightforward conclusion, coming from a professor of chemical hygiene of Johns Hopkins University, seemed so conclusive that we believe to this day that protein is the most important. Since then, nutrition scientists have discovered hundreds of different nutrients that are crucially important for human health. For example, the researchers estimate that there are up to 40,000 phytonutrients, which we have barely begun to study. I often wonder why nobody is asking, where can I get my phytonutrients? By the way, we can get most of them, along with protein, from fresh greens. Consider this. Cow's milk was green grass just 4 hours before the cow was milked, and cow's milk is rich in protein.
I recently started making green smoothies, and I love them. I've been wondering about something, though. I am particularly sensitive to sugar, and I wonder if all the sugar from the fruit could be a problem for someone like me. The fruit is what often makes the green smoothies palatable.
Can you read this last question again?
Sure. I recently started making green smoothies, and I love them. I've been wondering about something, though. I'm particularly sensitive to sugar, and I wonder if all the sugar from the fruit could be a problem for someone like me.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it comes from this scare that's so popular now about fruit, that fruit is bad. I don't think fruit is bad. And also could be too much fat circulating in your blood from your consumption too much fats. Maybe you consume too many nuts or too many seeds or oils. So I don't think it could be a problem.
How can I make my sister drink green smoothies?
You do whatever it takes. I'll tell you a story how I paid my brother, my blood brother, my real brother, $500 to read my book in Russian. When my brother immigrated to Canada, he didn't have a job for a long time, and I could never make him read my book. I translated my book thinking, okay, my relatives will be able to read it, and he is diabetic. His blood sugar is high, so I couldn't make him read the book. He thought it was total nonsense. So when he didn't have a job, his wife called me one day, and she said, just wanted to tell you that your brother is going to call you, and he will ask to borrow $500 from you for his class he was going to take. So I figured out I will have to pay him anyways. So I went ahead, and I called my brother, and I said, you know what? I'm looking to hire somebody with a technical brain like yours, who will read my book and tell me if there are any mistakes or errors in there. He was so happy. He just said, oh, I just need this money so badly. So he took a yellow highlighter, and he started to read my book. And he said that on the second page, he forgot about highlighter. He just was so swollen, just kind of, he couldn't stop. He was totally enjoyed reading it. And in the end, he called me and said, can you please send me $5 as soon as possible? I want to go to the store, buy some greens, and make myself a green smoothie. So how can you make your sister drink green smoothies? Somehow, just explain to her, talk to her, make her a really, really delicious smoothie. If you put high-quality ingredients in your smoothie, the smoothie will be delicious. Some people are trying to put in the smoothie something that they cannot eat because it's just wilted or old or just not ripe or not delicious. I put the best ingredients in my smoothie. I buy the most ripe organic mangoes and the best crispy greens, and I put them in my smoothie because I'm investing in my health. And when I make my smoothie, everybody loves it. I share it with the strangers, and I've never met anybody, child or adult or anybody who... mashed potato eater who will say, no, it's not good. Everybody loves it. Even your UPS guy likes it.
Victoria, you haven't been to Texas for a long time. When are you coming to visit?
I picked up this question out of other questions because I am actually coming to Texas. I already have tickets in my pocket. Me and Valia and Sergey are coming to Texas in 2 weeks, on the 21st of October through 27th, we'll be touring Texas. So please go to rawfamily.com and check our calendar, and we will see you there.
I think all food is good in some way, but will not benefit all the people with different health issues. When we are on a raw food diet, how should we get the information or knowledge on it?
This is a good question and very important. I think that the best way is to look for people that have, look for the information that makes sense to us. I think the best way is to try and observe how we feel. For example, if you go on either raw food diet or drink green smoothies for 1 or 2 weeks and you observe how you feel, even keep a diary because later you'll forget or you'll think it was just your imagination. So keep a diary, write down how you feel. And when you know from your own self that you feel better on certain way of eating, on certain diet, you will remember that. And that's the best knowledge. I always take what I hear from other people, from other researchers, with a big grain of doubt. I don't trust anybody, no matter how nice it sounds and attractive, no matter how expensive the suit and the tie that person wears. I really always question everything I hear, especially when it's written or said from big stage. I really like to question everything. There's so many things were just opposite from what people were saying that I basically have to check everything by myself. And there are ways how you could check. Always try to check the original source. And Google is great, I don't think that because you don't have a medical education, you cannot understand or you can know better. You have your best friend, your human body, and your body is dedicated for your well-being. Your body wants you to be beautiful. When we were all born, we were so cute babies, every single one of us, and then we lived our life, we did things, and our bodies became less cute, and then we need to put makeup on, we need to put certain clothes on to hide how not cute our bodies are. What's happening? Is it our body's fault? No. It's we're confused, we have lots of bad habits. We don't exercise, or we just over-exercise, or we don't eat, or we overeat. We just do things. So our body is our friend. It's not our enemy. Our body doesn't want us to be sick. Our body wants us to be healthy and beautiful. It's very intelligent. So be very attentive to your body. For example, when we started to consume lots of refined food, we humans became deficient in many nutrients. According to USDA, about 80% of Americans are deficient in 30 the most important nutrients. So we are very deficient. And one of the major deficiencies is zinc. When we're deficient in zinc, there are many things that happen negative, but one of them is our stomach is unable to produce normal hydrochloric acid. Seems like a really something we don't care about, but when we cannot produce hydrochloric acid, we become progressively more and more deficient in everything, because the stomach acid liquefies the food that we eat, and only in liquid form our body could absorb in the small intestine. And so one thing that we cannot really absorb and assimilate is green leaves when we don't have enough hydrochloric acid. So when people don't have enough hydrochloric acid in the stomach, when they begin to eat green leaves, they feel nauseous. Yes, that means that the body is so dumb, it knows that we need it, but it makes us resistant to eating greens. No. The body is very intelligent. The body is kind of telling you, hey, baby, you cannot digest greens anymore. And if you force yourself to drink greens, to eat greens, you will have irritable bowel syndrome. You will have irritated and inflamed intestines because you did not liquefy them properly in your stomach. So I'm going to make you nauseous and repulsed by the just very look of greens. And that is why today's children more and more become repulsed by the look of greens. You show to a child today ice cream or greens, and they will be happy to see ice cream because they're addicted to sugar, and they will be repulsed by the look of greens. So in order to introduce green smoothie to our children, we have to do what we call a shot in the dark. You switch off the light, put the green smoothie in a not clear cup, and serve it to them, not pronouncing the word green, because they're repulsed by the sound of the word green. So where did we start? I forgot. So anyways, that's how you just learn by doing and observing, and that's the best way.
Similar question, what should be the do's and don'ts of following a raw food diet?
Do's and don'ts. The don't is don't follow anybody's personal footsteps. What works for one doesn't work for another. Don't try to be perfect. Don't follow any exact guidelines. Everybody's different, and your personal life will be different. You have been with you since your birth, and you will be with you till your last breath. You're the one who knows about you most of the things, and so you trust yourself. Trust yourself more than you trust any doctor. Don't trust me. Just take this information and try it for yourself and see if it works, and then trust yourself.
Studies have shown that some nutrients are more bioavailable after the food has been cooked than when it is raw. Take tomatoes or corn, for example. When we eat only raw foods, are we getting as many nutrients as we can?
I personally think that it's not true that lycopene from tomatoes is becoming more available. I love tomatoes. I eat lots of tomatoes, especially now in harvest time. I think it's just a matter of time when there will be new research done which will overthrow the previous one. And I just don't believe it. I don't believe that it's correct information. We read it somewhere and then we believe it. I don't believe it. This one doesn't make sense to me.
Many nutritious foods like carrots and beets are excluded from a cooked kidney stone diet because of the sediment factor. In their raw form, are these foods acceptable if one suffers from kidney stones?
I believe that the roots are not for humans. In nature, you cannot find the roots that look like modern shape of carrots or beets. In nature, roots look like hair, and this is intended for microorganisms. Of course, in a time of a flood or a famine or drought, for survival purposes, yeah, we can eat roots, but I don't believe it's a major source of nutrients for us. I eat carrots sometimes and beets, but not very regular, not very often. It's not like as regular for me as apples or mangoes or bananas. We could easily do without beets and carrots. That's what I'm saying.
I've heard recently that some raw foods, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, kale, cabbage, can be harmful to the thyroid, Could you please address this issue?
Yes, I have heard this and I've read this, and also I had my own observation of people. I have a very good friend, one of my best friends, who has thyroid problems. And while, yes, the cruciferous family of vegetables does, in effect, thyroid, at the same time, these same greens have something that definitely are good for thyroid. So I think that if you have thyroid problem, just do more rotation in your greens and don't stop taking them, because my friend was just able to completely eliminate medicine that she's been taking for maybe 15 or 16 years for her thyroid, and she just completely stopped because she was eating different greens, including cruciferous. Because greens are very valuable. They have lots of things in them that we're not even familiar with yet.
I've been hearing a lot lately about olive oil not being as good for you as coconut oil. Will you comment?
Everything is relative. If we would compare olive oil to pig fat or to fried barbecues or to bacon, of course it's way better, way better. And human body can much easier digest it. But the time comes when you really begin to eat so clean and so perfectly that your body gives you kind of a note that, well, I feel better when you don't consume oil. And if you think about it, it is not natural food. You cannot find anywhere in nature some amount of oil already being squeezed for us. Olives are much more natural than olive oil. The sunflower seeds are more natural than sunflower oil. So that's my understanding of that. And 5 years ago, if somebody would tell me that I'll stop eating olive oil, I wouldn't even believe it. I would say it's crazy. But today I almost don't consume it. And what can I do? My body doesn't want it.
If root vegetables are for microorganisms, why do we eat things like carrots and beets?
Because they're sweet and tasty, and we genetically modified them to be very palatable.
When eating out in a non-raw environment, what would be the best selection? Cook veggies or a salad dressing with oil and vinegar?
When you're eating out, you always have to look at the quality. Some salad in the restaurant could be so wilted, so old, and this mayonnaise on it could be so toxic that it would be better to eat some steamed greens, or steamed greens could be so overcooked that you would rather go for salad. In every situation, you have to look what you have, and sometimes maybe it's best just to come already with your apple in your pocket, in your purse, or banana, or just drink water instead, or tea, and not to eat at all. But I have no problem when I travel to find food to eat. I either go to organic store and buy myself produce, or at least a package of trail mix, organic trail mix, just to survive.
Can you lay out a daily meal plan, for example, breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
I have laid already my daily meal plan in my book, 12 Steps to Raw Foods. The chapter is called What My Family Eats, in a new edition, not in an old edition. And it even tells not only what we eat, but also a budget. And I also published that same article in one of my newsletters. I have free information on my computer. It's newsletters. They available. You can just go to rawfamily.com and then click on newsletters, and there will be lots of information for several years. So in one of them, there is this article published, How My Family Eats. And we pretty much eat the same way now. And I know Naomi Shannon is now writing a book. It's called What You Ate Last Week, where she will have 40 different raw food people, what they were eating for a week. I'm looking forward to this book. I'm very curious to see what other raw fooders eat. And I put my account in there.
Also, from the same person, what would be the ideal portion of protein, carbs, and fats, especially for the people with health challenges like breast cancer, diabetes, and high blood pressure?
I'm mostly concerned about fats, in the diet and cooked carbohydrates. I'm not concerned about protein because I do know that there is lots of protein in greens. I don't think we have any problem. I think we all have enough protein. I also know that when the humans grow in the fastest is with the babies, when they're babies, and the mother's milk has only 3 or 4% of protein. So I'm really not concerned about protein. I do think that we consume too much fat, and I think that our liver suffers from too much processed fat, and everybody's liver will be just grateful if you reduce the amount of fat you consume. People say, oh, yes, we need to eat healthy fats. But we don't need to overconsume them, and our liver is already tired of consuming fats. So I think very small amounts are necessary of any fats. And the carbohydrates from fruit, I think, is the best source.
What constitutes a healthy diet using raw foods, and are animal products important to include in a healing regime?
Say it again.
What constitutes a healing diet using raw foods, and are animal products important?
Animal products.
Animal products for
healing.
Yeah,
I understand. I was not been able to find even one single tribe in human history that did not consume insects or some other small animals. I do not advocate to eat animals. I think that my theory is that when we consume very ripe organic fruit, we do consume some microorganisms on them that will be a good source of B12 and B vitamins in general. So I think that's my answer. Ripe organic fruit. I'm trying to find funds to create a pilot study where a group of people who have B12 deficiency will be delivered 1 quart of green smoothie made from very ripe organic fruit and greens, and see if it will be improved over 1 month. And I already found a medical doctor who will be doing this with me, but we just need some funds because testing is expensive. But I believe that it does play a role in that.
I read several books on the raw food diet, and they all claim that it is good. But like most scientific findings on all areas, for example, food and human health, later they may find out something new. Excuse me, they may find new evidence or findings that might conflict with earlier findings. Like you said in your Green for Life, after several years of a raw food diet, later you found out that you need to add extra greens. Since you have so many years of raw food experience, are you confident that it is safe to go on this diet without any health crisis found later? Also, the author of The Live Food Factor said in her book that humans can live up to over 100 years if we take care of our diets. But do you see or do you know any raw foodist who is really old and really healthy?
Anne Wigmore was in her late 80s, and I consider her to be the healthiest human in the United States when she was alive. She didn't have any gray hair. She was very active. She had beautiful health. She didn't have no health problems. We are all pioneers. We all don't know all the answers, and we don't know what is the best diet, even though we live in this. And you can just stay alert and modify it as you go. For example, when my children, Sergey and Valya, became teenagers, I noticed that they were curious to try cooked foods. Sergey went on the diet when he was 9, and Valya went on a diet when she was 8, and then they've been 100% raw. But when they were in their 18, 19s, they became very curious. To the point that they would feel uncomfortable when they go out with their friends and travel for 2-3 days. And I just gave it a really hard thought, and I just decided to introduce them to some light form of cooking. So one day I came home with a steamer, and I gathered my children in the kitchen. I said, hey, you know what, I'm going to teach you how to cook. And they just really, literally fell off their chairs. Their eyes were square. Mom, are you kidding? We're the Roth family. I said, you know what? It's not religion. And I understand that you're going to meet different people. You're going to marry somebody, and they might not be 100% raw, most likely. So I want you to know that in between raw food and pizza, there is lots of area that I would like to teach you how to steam vegetables and how to prepare simple porridge out of quinoa, for example. So you can survive in all conditions. Sometime maybe you will be in different circumstances. So it was a good decision, tough but good decision, because my children apparently didn't even know how to boil a cup of water. And so they kept touching the hot lead, and they didn't know how to. They didn't know how long. And I taught them how to steam, let's say, broccoli, how to steam asparagus or spinach. And while they tried to do this, it took them several months to understand, to learn how to do this. Valya consciously took decision not to do this. She decided that she feels the best on a 100% raw food diet. She immediately started to gain weight on steamed tried to do steamed vegetables. Sergey, though, he said that actually he feels better. That's his today's. It might change. I don't know. He says that he feels better if a couple times a week after a strong workout, he will add to his raw food regime, he will add a little bit, maybe a cup or two of steamed vegetables, because he's very, very active. He's very athletic. For example, last month he climbed Mount Shasta twice in one day. He was taking a hike, group of people, to the top of Mount Shasta. And so first he hiked with their backpacks. Then she came back and he came with them. And after that, he just came home and he said, I want to eat a cup of steamed vegetables because I need some calories. So that makes some rational sense to me. He needed more concentrated calories and he didn't want to consume fat. So this is just information for thinking. I don't know where to take this. I'm just telling you how it is.
Also in the live food factor, she mentioned that on a raw food diet, some women may have no menstrual bleeding. Is that good?
About periods?
Yes.
I don't believe that it's necessary for women to completely stop periods. What I've been very interested in that because I have a daughter, and I asked all healthy raw women, and I know that their just bleeding becomes very minimal, but it doesn't disappear. When it disappears, I think it's a symptom of adrenal fatigue.
Where do you get the rubber thing that you put in your mouth to chew on and build up your teeth and gums?
Ah, that's a good question. I am releasing my jaw exercise just today. Yesterday, Valya videotaped me talking about this, and you, my dear friends, could check it out for yourself. I have a new website. It is called jawexerciser.com, and you can see my video, and you'll see me today. You'll see how I talk about this and show it to you, this rubber thing that you put in your mouth.
Since starting drinking green smoothies, which was about a year ago, my teeth became very sensitive to the heat and to the cold and to sweetness. Any advice on how to deal with this issue?
You didn't read it all the way.
I really like my green smoothie routine in the morning and don't want to give it up.
And
I also drink a cup of apple cider vinegar.
That's it. That's the answer to that question. The good question has answer in it. Apple cider vinegar, that's what is, I believe, causing sensitivity to your teeth. Because the level of your alkalinity balanced, and now apple cider vinegar adds to your sensitivity. Just take apple cider vinegar out, and you won't have the sensitivity anymore.
I watched one of your interviews on YouTube where you mentioned that you had some dental implants done several years into your raw food lifestyle. I am planning on having them done too, and my dentist insists on me taking antibiotics for 10 days to prevent a possible infection. I am 100% raw now. By the time the implants will be done, it will be about 9 months of 100% raw food diet for me. lots of green smoothies and occasional vegetables and nuts. So I am worried about taking antibiotics. It would be great if you could share your experience.
I don't take antibiotics. I never take them. Even the dentist tells me. I sign all the paperwork they want me to sign. I don't believe they are so crucial and important. When I was doing my implants, they didn't even use anesthesia on me. My jaw bone density improved so that they were just able to put those implants without anesthesia. They were very strong. The dentist told me that I have a bare jaw now. And so we will just go to the last question now.
What's your favorite music?
Oh, wow, that's a surprise. Of course, my favorite music is Thank You for the Smoothies for All Those Greenies. Okay, my dear friends, this is the end. The time went very fast, and I would like to unmute you to hear some feedback before we close.
I'd also like to say that we have a new Green Smoothie blog and Green Smoothie forum. You can find a lot of the answers to some of the questions there, and we'll try and get the other ones that weren't answered.
Yeah, and we also have some spaces at our Green Smoothie Retreat coming October 11th. And come visit us for any questions. Hopefully we'll have it again if you liked it. We'll be happy to share with you. Time flies too fast. We have another 50.
Yeah, we didn't get halfway.
Hello.
Hello.
How was it?
Very good.
Good.
Great.
Most of you went to sleep, or?
Are we on the radio?
Yeah, you're all live.
Hi, Victoria.
You're unmuted. Speak.
Excellent. Excellent.
Good.
Yeah, Victoria, I have done green smoothies for probably 18 months. And I know now something that I have done wrong. I've not rotated.
That's it. You've not rotated. Now you begin to rotate.
Yeah, right. But, you know, this is another question, but I have to find the source of wild greens. I would love to use them.
What?
Wild
greens.
Okay, go to harmonyhikes.com. Now, just don't ask me questions anymore. We have a few minutes only left. Give me feedback. Any criticism, I appreciate.
A job well done.
I don't look tight.
Yeah, job well done.
She loves criticism.
You were well prepared.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you as always.
Sorry, I just wanted to say, if anyone has any more questions and they're on the internet now, they can send them in and we can look at them and try and answer them in other ways.
No. I don't want to be... We will schedule another teleconference later, maybe.
Andita, adios.
Adios. Goodbye.
Okay.
Have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, Victoria. Bye.
Thank you,
Victoria.
Thank you.
Please click on the webcast link or call the phone number you see on the screen to join in.